Chairman, representatives. It's a pleasure after 2 years of really hard work in the region to being able to be here today to present and launch for you and with you the UNODC regional program in support of the CARICOM Crime and Security Strategy. This event will have three parts. There will be statements by the table. We'll have an opening statement by Mr. Yuri Fedotov, UNODC Executive Director and Undersecretary General of the United Nations. We'll have key remarks by Ambassador Noel Sinclair, Deputy Chef de Cabinet of the Office of the President of the 68th General Assembly, followed by remarks by Mr. Francis Forbes, Executive Director of CARICOM Impacts. We'll have remarks by Mr. Henry Leonard MacDonald, Ambassador, CARICOM Chair, and Permanent Representative of Suriname to the United Nations, followed by remarks by His Excellency, the Ambassador of the European Union to the UN, Mr. Thomas Meyer-Harton. I will deliver then a very short presentation of the regional program. You have the regional program with you. It will be published today in the UNODC general website. Then we'll have a statement by the Honorable Adriel Brathwaite, Attorney General and Minister of Home Affairs of Barbados, followed by a very short signing ceremony of a memorandum of understanding between the UNODC and CARICOM Impacts. So I would like just to welcome our Executive Director, Mr. Yuri Fedotov.
Thank you, Amanda. Your Excellency, Mr. Minister, Ambassador Sinclair, Mr. Executive Director of CARICOM Impacts, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen. Thank all of you for joining us here today for the launch of UNODC's regional program in support of the CARICOM Crime and Security Strategy. The new program, developed at the request of CARICOM, aims to address urgent challenges facing the region and to promote governance, justice, and security. The region, located between major drug-producing countries in the south and major consumer markets in the north, remains extremely vulnerable to the threat posed by illicit trafficking and organized crime. Limited law enforcement capacities to monitor vast coastlines is being exploited by traffickers. Drug trafficking through the Caribbean has surged in recent years with routes leading to the north as well to the east across the Atlantic Ocean to the European markets. The nexus between transnational organized criminal activities such as cocaine trafficking and illegal guns, gangs, cybercrime, financial crime, and corruption has been identified in the CARICOM Crime and Security Strategy as an immediate and significant threat. Young people under 30, who represent the majority of the region's citizens, are most often the victims and perpetrators of crime and violence. High level of crime and violence undermine stability and negatively impact growth and business, in particular tourism, which remains one of the main economic drivers in the Caribbean. Cocaine use in the region is estimated to be above the global average. The risk of HIV infection among at-risk youth, people in prison, and people who use drugs is also a major concern, with the rate of adult infection estimated at around 1%, higher than in any other region outside sub-Saharan Africa. These interconnected problems pose a greater threat to the potential of young people and the sustainable development of the region. The regional program, therefore, aims to support regional institutions and Caribbean member states to strengthen their capacities to meet these multifaceted challenges. We developed the program in close collaboration with the CARICOM Secretariat and the CARICOM Implementation Agency for Crime and Security, and with contributions from Caribbean Aviation Safety and Security Oversight System and the Regional Security System. The regional program was presented to the CARICOM Council of Ministers for Security and Law Enforcement last November, as well as to the CARICOM Community Council in January Moreover, on the basis of the regional program, UNODC and the CARICOM impacts have developed a joint action plan highlighting future areas of cooperation. The CARICOM crime and security strategy served as an authoritative reference, and specific attention was paid to ensuring complementarity and avoiding duplication with existing initiatives. The regional program thus comprised five sub-programs, which not only reflect areas under UNODC's mandate, but which also directly target the priority goals of the CARICOM strategy. These include countering transnational organized crime, illicit trafficking and terrorism, countering corruption and money laundering, preventing crime and reforming criminal justice, addressing drug use, prevention and treatment, and HIV/AIDS, and research, trend analysis, and forensics. Furthermore, the regional program identifies other key interventions. These include the creation of a prosecutor's network to facilitate the investigation and prosecution of transnational crime cases, as well as the development of capacity-building programs for law enforcement and prosecutors to address human trafficking and migrant smuggling. The regional program also aims to support CARICOM states in going after the proceeds of drug trafficking and other crimes, which is absolutely essential if we want to dismantle criminal networks. Our result-oriented approach emphasizes cost-effectiveness and right-sized projects. The indicative budget of the regional program for the three-year time frame stands at just some $11.7 million. We will also achieve synergies with existing UNODC initiatives, including through the planned expansion of the Global Container Control Program and Air Corp in the Caribbean. Reestablishing a UNODC presence on the ground has been high on the agenda for CARICOM member states, and the government of Barbados has indicated its kind willingness to host. Meeting this request and the need of the region remains a key priority for UNODC if sufficient support and resources can be found. Ladies and gentlemen, UNODC has been actively engaged with countries of the Caribbean to stem the growing tide of drug trafficking and organized crime, but clearly much more needs to be done. Urgent action is needed. With your pledges, UNODC's new regional program will provide a strategic, targeted framework to support regional efforts and address these challenges. I hope we can count on your support. I thank you.
Thank you very much. I forgot to mention that at the end, right after the signing ceremony of the MOU between UNODC and CARICOM Impacts, there will be a set of questions and answers by the ambassadors and by the public. Mr. Roy Sinclair, friend, ambassador, you have the floor.
Excellencies, Honorable Adriel Brathwaite, Attorney General and Minister of Home Affairs of Barbados, His Excellency Thomas Meerhartin, EU Representative to the UN, Excellency Henry MacDonald, CARICOM Chair and Permanent Representative of Suriname, Mr. Yuri Fedotov, UNODC Executive Director and Undersecretary General, Francis Forbes, Executive Director, CARICOM Impacts, Moderator, Philip De Amado, UNODC Regional Representative for Central America and the Caribbean. Other ambassadors, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, President John Ash sincerely regrets his inability to be present at this activity this morning, marking the launching of the regional program of the United Nations Office for Drug Control in support of the CARICOM crime and security strategy. He is therefore entrusted to me the great honor of delivering his remarks on his behalf and in his name. This launch represents a significant evolution in the international community's engagement with the question of transnational organized crime and drug trafficking. The strength of this engagement is manifested in numerous expressions by our heads of state and government, including in the Millennium Declaration, in which they vowed to redouble their efforts against the world drug problem and also to fight against transnational organized crime in all its dimensions. In the World Summit Outcome document in 2005, our heads reaffirmed their unwavering determination to overcome the world narcotic drug problem through international cooperation and national strategies, and to eliminate both demand and supply for illicit drugs. On that occasion, they also resolved to strengthen the capacity of the UNODC to assist member states at their request. Even as the UNODC proceeded with the elaboration of its approach to integrated regional programming, CARICOM states, for their part, continued their own efforts to deal with the challenges which they faced and continue to face in the area of crime and security. CARICOM states recognize that these challenges, like those in the area of the vulnerability of their economies, or those in respect of non-communicable diseases, or in respect of the illegal trade in small arms and light weapons, are essentially fundamental challenges to the development of their peoples. Accordingly, CARICOM heads adopted in Haiti in 2013 the region's crime and security strategy as a basis for responding to the security threats facing their countries and peoples, with a special implementation role given to the Implementation Agency for Crime and Security Impacts, whose executive director is seated at my right. Today's activity represents, among other things, the successful culmination of a process of extensive consultations on a variety of issues involving a number of agencies, including UNODC, of course, the CARICOM Secretariat, and IMPACTS, as well as the Caucus of CARICOM Permanent Representatives in New York, represented here today by its current chair, the Permanent Representative of Suriname, in addition to the government of Barbados, which has kindly agreed to serve as the host of a re-established UNODC presence in the region, and also the European Union as an important contributor to the regional program. In a sense, therefore, this meeting is for me like a gathering of the old clan, because I remember us from Ambassador Mayor Harting on to Amado, yourself, Philip, I remember us all sitting around various tables in various conference rooms trying to hammer out the challenges involved in reestablishing the presence of UNODC in the region. And I'm glad that now we are around this table in a completely different climate, a completely different atmosphere, celebrating success. Today we are gathered here to welcome this positive outcome, to underscore the expectation of results, the expectation of results that will benefit the people of the Caribbean community in their struggle against drug trafficking and transnational organized crime, to share the achievement with other member states and to offer them at the same time an opportunity to render all possible support to enable the timely implementation of the cooperation projects to be developed in the framework of the regional program. As Mr. Fedotov did, I appeal to states of the region, as well as to others outside it, to take advantage of this opportunity. With this welcoming activity completed, there naturally comes the phase of implementing what was agreed. In this regard, due note is taken of the development of a joint IMPACTS UNODC work plan, which has been endorsed by the CARICOM Council of Law Enforcement Ministers and also by the Community Council, as Mr. Fedotov has pointed out in his statement. This plan addresses specific areas of cooperation to be developed based on the content of the regional program, with this resolute spirit infusing implementation of the plan, there is reason for both sides to feel optimistic. Mr. Fedotov has accurately described the many dimensions of the challenges facing CARICOM states where the trafficking in and use of narcotic drugs are concerned. That has been a very accurate description by him. These challenges way surpass the capacity of CARICOM states acting by themselves. The budget of the drug dealers way surpasses the combined budgets of all our states. We therefore heartily welcome the conclusion of this agreement and enthusiastically look forward to the development of the cooperation of which this agreement is the foundation. The CARICOM subregion is an open space which has been and continues to be a conduit for the passage of drugs and arms from suppliers in South America to markets in North America and Europe. To the extent that this cooperation enables us to become better able to reduce our porousness, we would be not only protecting our regions and our peoples against the scourge of narcotics drugs, but we would at the same time be helping to interrupt the movement of those drugs, and thereby hopefully making an impact on the global trade in narcotics and on transnational organized crime. And in the process, we would be improving chances for development over a broad area of the world, even beyond CARICOM. As the implementation of this program progresses, there will be opportunities for both UNODC and CARICOM to learn from the experience of other regions, even as other regions learn from our experience in the Caribbean. There is therefore very much at stake in the successful implementation of the regional program of cooperation that we are today launching. President Ash extends his gratitude and appreciation to all the participants in this exercise today, and particularly for all of the expressions of practical support to the cooperation program that have already been made, and for those which are yet to be made or which are to be made public. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ambassador Sinclair. There will be now a presentation of the joint work plan of UNODC and CARICOM impacts by Mr. Francis Forbes, followed by a statement.
Thank you very much. In the interest of time, please allow me the privilege of just saying all protocols observed. I will do a very quick PowerPoint presentation to lay the foundation for my written presentation. The UNODC Impacts Joint Work Plan was naturally developed by UNODC and CARICOM Impacts. And we asked the question, why have we done this through collaboration? And it is mainly to facilitate maximum efficiency in the delivery of programs, projects, and activities which address CARICOM's crime and security concerns and thereby avoiding duplication of already ongoing efforts. Our strategic goals are included here. Goal one, take the profit out of crime, target criminal assets, and protect the financial system. Three, establish appropriate legal instruments while ratifying existing agreements. Four, increase transborder intelligence and information sharing. Six, enhance maritime and airspace awareness, strengthen CARICOM borders, including contiguous land borders. And seven, strengthening the effectiveness of criminal investigation through modern technologies and scientific techniques. And these, of course, are all supported by the UNODC. specific areas of collaboration include promotion of efficient cooperation in criminal matters, strengthening national institutional structures and capacities at the national levels to conduct complex and joint investigations and prosecutions of crime. Technical assistance for the ratification and implementation of the United Nations Convention Against Corruption, border control, seek to help areas of potential cooperation, areas of potential cooperation between the regions, advanced cargo information systems, and advanced passenger information system, and the UNODC container control and air corp programs. Increase the forensic capacities of member states, more specifically enhancing the capacities to generate drug and crime statistics and conduct analyses. What are the outcomes? Outcome one, increased ratification and implementation of the United Nations Convention Against Corruption and its implementation review mechanism. Two, increased ratification and implementation of the United Nations Convention Against Transnational Organized Crime. Three, member states to improve the capacity for the exchange of information at the national and regional levels. Four, member states are supported in the enhancement of national liaison offices. Five, strengthening of the network of organized crime prosecutors. Six, the CCP and EACOP function to reinforce the work of the ACES and APIS respectively. And seven, member states have increased forensic capacity. What are the success factors that we are envisioning? One, support of the development and donor community, and this is very critical to our success, in assisting to provide the necessary financial, technical, and other resources required to bolster the contributions of both partner agencies. And secondly, transfer, exchange of knowledge and expertise between the two agencies. Our immediate and next steps will include the following three: a finalization of the formal modality to facilitate cooperation, identification of initiatives for commencement pending availability of funding, discussions on resource mobilization. Distinguished ladies and gentlemen, today there is general agreement that peace, security, and development share an interdependent relationship, as a result of which one cannot be sustained without the other. Let us recall that in the year 2000, 180 world leaders agreed to 8 Millennium Development Goals, geared towards making the world a more equal and better place by 2015. For the developing states of the Caribbean, the question must now be simply, are we there yet? The current crime and security environment in the Caribbean is notorious for the grave concerns generated. Homicide rates for CARICOM members are a stark reminder of our disproportionate contribution to the global homicide rate. Gangs supported by the illicit trafficking of guns and drugs continue to wreak havoc on the lives of innocent citizens. Cybercrimes with accompanying threats of terrorism feed an atmosphere of unease, while human trafficking remains a serious concern. And as if that was not sufficient, Mother Nature continues to remind us as to where the real power resides. And so, distinguished delegates, one can understand the positive energy which the approved CARICOM crime and security strategy now brings to the table. Partnership is critical to the success of this strategy, which lays out CARICOM's vision for a secure community and is the key document guiding the CARICOM's crime and security agenda. The strategy's ultimate goal is to significantly improve citizen security in CARICOM and to create a safe, just, free, and economically viable environment while advancing the region's security interests in support of our citizens achieving their human development goals. The promotion of security is best assured through a wide network of partner relationships. as the agency responsible for implementation of CARICOM's regional crime and security agenda. The CARICOM Implementation Agency for Crime and Security Impacts seeks to build and encourage partnerships with several key national, regional, and international institutions and agencies to operationalize the CARICOM crime and security strategy. In so doing, the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime is one such agency with which Impacts will collaborate to implement this strategy. In light of the significant or Tier 1 threats facing the Caribbean region, Impacts and the UNODC will seek to work in close collaboration in critical areas such as transnational organized crime, the trafficking of illicit drugs and illegal guns, corruption and financial crimes. Our collaboration will facilitate maximum efficiency in the delivery of programs, projects, and activities within the targeted areas, which address the region's crime and security concerns, thereby avoiding duplication of already ongoing regional efforts. Supported by an extensive network with supported by an extensive network, the UNODC brings with it global experience in the fight against illicit drugs and international crime. Its experience in field-based technical cooperation projects to counteract illicit drugs, crime, and terrorism, and its research capabilities and analytical work will assist CARICOM Impacts in addressing issues related to drugs and crime and in developing evidence-based policies for the region, as well as enhancing existing and developing new operational programs. Specifically, the Impacts UNODC Joint Work Plan for 2014 to 2016 speaks to build on important steps already taken and to address specific security gaps to advance and promote citizen security in the CARICOM community. It will address strategic priorities, utilizing where appropriate each agency's comparative advantages. It is important that this joint work program is recognized as an important step in an ongoing process of functional cooperation between Impacts and UNODC. The UNODC Impacts Joint Work Plan was developed based on the CARICOM Crime and Security Strategy and UNODC Regional Program for the Caribbean. The main CARICOM crime and security goals upon which this work plan will focus are: 1, take the profit out of crime, targeting criminal assets and protecting the financial system. 2, establishing appropriate legal instruments while ratifying existing agreements. 3, increasing transborder intelligence and information sharing. 4, enhancing maritime and airspace awareness, strengthening CARICOM borders, including contiguous land borders. 5, strengthening the effectiveness of criminal investigation through modern technologies and scientific techniques. These areas will be supported by the UNODC Regional Program through the Countering Transnational Organized Crime, Illicit Trafficking and Terrorism, the Countering Corruption and Money Laundering, and Research and Trend Analysis to guide policy sub-programs. The entire Caribbean populace is expected to benefit significantly from this collaboration between the UNODC and Impacts, as several key programs will be undertaken to strengthen existing security initiatives in the region and add relevant ones. For this initiative to succeed, however, there are two critical factors to keep in mind. First, the support of the development and donor community in assisting with providing the necessary financial, technical, and other resources is required to bolster the contributions of both partner agencies, CARICOM Impacts and the UNODC. This is so important, I wish I could read it 3 times. Secondly, there must be a transfer of knowledge and expertise between the two agencies. Both agencies can learn from each other. Each agency must be allowed to demonstrate and apply its comparative advantage. While the UNODC brings to the table its international experience and networks, as well as best practices gleaned from its work globally, Impacts, being the nerve center of the regional security architecture, has existing and working mechanisms for reaching the operational arms of the security infrastructure in the region at the member states level, as well as existing cooperation agreements with key regional agencies. This makes for a very rewarding partnership to the benefit of the region. CARICOM Impacts looks forward to this most meaningful and important collaboration with the UNODC and support of the CARICOM region, the international community, and very importantly, the development and donor communities. We are confident that with the commitment of both organizations, this partnership will succeed and perhaps create a new model to be emulated elsewhere in the future. Distinguished delegates, we all know the statement, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. Today must certainly be seen as our first step along what hopefully will become a very successful journey. I thank you all.
Thank you so much, Mr. Forbes, for that, the great presentation of the joint UNODC CARICOM Impacts Work Plan and your words. Ambassador Leonard MacDonald, you have the floor, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. Your Excellency, Mr. Minister, Attorney General of Barbados, Executive Director of Impacts, CARICOM Impacts, colleagues, ladies and gentlemen, I have the honor to deliver this statement on this auspicious occasion on behalf of the 14 member states of the Caribbean Community, CARICOM. We express our appreciation to relevant United Nations agencies, in particular UNODC, for supporting the region in the implementation of its regional crime and security strategy. No region is immune from the effects of crime and violence, given their increasing multidimensional and multifaceted nature. The repercussions of emerging threats are spreading very rapidly around the world, which make it far more likely to experience immediate consequences across national borders. In fact, within the Caribbean region, we have been faced with addressing emerging and persistent threats that threaten to derail progress towards sustainable development and the creation of an enabling environment towards economic growth and inclusive development. CARICOM is of the view that the fight against crime and violence is a fight for human development. In our region, crime contributes to negative consequences such as gang violence, reduced life expectancy, loss of productivity and revenue, including from tourism and potential investment and diversion of precious resources. The trafficking in illicit guns has been identified by CARICOM heads of state and government as an immediate threat to the region. It is therefore crucial that crime prevention is adequately considered in the development agenda. Several noteworthy initiatives to respond to the challenges faced by crime and violence have taken place in the region within the last few years, such as the establishment of the Implementation Agency for Crime and Security, IMPECS, the Council of Ministers responsible for national security and law enforcement, the decision to declare security as the fourth pillar of CARICOM, as well as the adoption by CARICOM heads of government of a declaration on small arms and light weapons as an instrumental regional mechanism in the collective effort to combat the illicit trade in small arms and light weapons and their ammunition. These actions demonstrate a renewed political commitment and an unprecedented level of cooperation on regional security issues. The adoption of the CARICOM Crime and Security Strategy by the heads of state and government in 2013 represents a crucial moment for the community in articulating its security interests within the wider context of the shifting balance of global geopolitical power, increasing market competitiveness, public debt financing, and profound economic uncertainties, as well as threats of climate change. This strategy is guided by the principles of democratic choice, freedom, justice, prosperity, respect for territorial integrity, as well as respect for and promotion of human rights and good governance. Mr. Chairperson, as we launch the regional crime and security strategy today, we commend UNODC for supporting the efforts of particularly small and vulnerable developing states, some of which are island states with porous borders, in countering criminal activities and guaranteeing citizens' security. Although we consider that national and regional efforts are critical, it is equally important to realize that national and regional security are directly linked to the dynamics of the international world order. We therefore underscore that adequate, effective, and sustainable international cooperation and assistance is necessary to the success of regional approaches. It is incumbent upon us in the Caribbean region, in close coordination and collaboration with all our partners, to create an enabling environment for the achievement of sustainable development in our countries. Adequately addressing the crime and security concerns and risks are an integral part thereof. CARICOM wishes to reiterate that building societies on a platform of justice, security, and the rule of law is essential to laying the groundwork for sustainable development. This required a multifaceted and collaborative approach, and CARICOM stands ready to play an active part. I thank you kindly, Mr. Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Ambassador. There will be now remarks by Ambassador Thomas Meyer-Hartin, EU representative to the United Nations.
Thank you very much, Mr. Andrews. Executive Director Fedotov, Honorable Attorney General, Executive Director Forbes, Ambassador Sinclair, representative of the PGA, Ambassador MacDonald, Chair of CARICOM, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen. It's a particular pleasure to be here today, and I'm here in a certain sense also with a feeling of satisfaction today. Ambassador Sinclair has reminded us already of the long conversations we had and the long discussions we had how to help UNODC return to the region of the Caribbean. And I think this is really an auspicious beginning today, and I'm happy to be able to witness this new cooperation between CARICOM and UNODC, between CARICOM Impacts and UNODC. I welcome the launch of this important regional program for the Caribbean, and I would also like to express our appreciation for the very good cooperation between European Union and UNODC in other parts of the world. We stand united with our partners in the Caribbean and the UNODC in our joint efforts to strengthen the region's capacity to combat transnational organized crime. As I have said from time to time, and as others have said repeatedly, this is an issue that unites us. We are faced with a challenge that generates in a part of the world that is not the Caribbean and that ends up in a part of the world that is also not the Caribbean. Production, especially when it comes to drugs, is in one part of the world. They transit through the Caribbean and they arrive in Europe where you find the consumers, and it's clear that we need to cooperate and also cooperate in our support for the Caribbean to cope with this major problem. We reiterate our cooperation with CARICOM Impacts and our support for the CARICOM Crime and Security Strategy adopted in February 2013, which the UNODC program launched today will further support. Security is one of the priorities of the joint Caribbean-EU partnership strategy approved in November 2012, and under the 11th European Development Fund, security will be one of the three main sectors of concentration for EU regional programs in the Caribbean. While the exact outline of our regional programming is still being elaborated, issues such as support for crime prevention, risk reduction, justice, citizen security, and compliance with international norms on financial crimes, and you mentioned many of these today as part of your program, will be among our priorities in our support to the Caribbean. When the security component of the 11th EDF regional program is agreed with CARICOM, we will certainly look with an open mind again together with CARICOM at the funding of projects based on the merit of specific proposals and based on how proposals fit into the regional architecture in the Caribbean. And let me say also personally in this context, if in the framework of this cooperation we then also have the possibility to support and work on joint projects that are established in the framework of this joint work plan between CARICOM, IMPACTS, and UNODC, and in this way also strengthen the longer-term presence of UNODC in the region, this, of course, would be a very satisfactory development for us. But it is, of course, up to CARICOM and our CARICOM partners to tell us where their priorities are in the framework of the 11th EDF regional program. Of course, UNODC, already, as I already said, is a good partner for us in many parts of the world, including, for instance, where I've seen projects myself in Western Africa, and basically the challenges that countries in Western Africa are facing are along the same channel and the same line of drugs trafficking that also confronts the Caribbean. Certainly, UNODC has to think longer term, and they're doing so to ensure more sustainable change results in a highly complex and changing environment. The long-term goal for all of us is to eliminate, through the support for public authorities and development, the opportunities for organized crime to thrive. Colleagues in Brussels are currently working on an EU strategy for public security in Central America and the Caribbean, and we look forward to pursue further dialogue between the European Union and key regional players such as, of course, UNODC and CARICOM. Security in Latin America and the Caribbean is a issue directly affecting us and our citizens for all the reasons that I've already given. Fighting crime is a shared agenda. We are therefore looking forward to cooperating with our partners and UNODC, CARICOM in the security sector, also on the basis of the cooperation that you're establishing today. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ambassador. Okay, now we'll try to present briefly the regional program that you have in front of you. First of all, I would like to highlight again that this regional program has been designed to support the very strategic goals of the CARICOM crime and security strategy. Close cooperation with all CARICOM structures, especially the CARICOM Secretariat in Guyana, CARICOM IMPACTS in Trinidad and Tobago, the Caribbean Aviation Safety and Security Oversight System, and the Regional Security System, RSS, have taken place for over a period of 24 months. We've been a little bit criticized sometimes because, you know, some partners were saying, you are taking too long. But yesterday, when I was discussing a little bit the way forward with the Attorney General of Barbados and my friend Francis Forbes, we saw that actually the steps that were taken by UNODC with CARICOM and CARICOM IMPACTS were the right ones at the right time, and these steps have established a solid operational relationship. As our executive director has pointed out, the UNODC regional program was finalized and presented to the CARICOM Council of Ministers for Security and Law Enforcement Council on 25th of November 2013. It was also approved by UNODC HQ in Vienna in December 2013, and it was discussed and presented at CARICOM Community Council in January of this year. UNODC is not alone in the region. UNODC has been cooperating with all the UN agencies, especially UNDP, but also other agencies like IOM, UN Women, other agencies in the framework of the UNDG-LAC. As you know, we meet in all the regional directors three or four times a year, normally in Panama, New York, and this regional program was initially presented back in February 2013 in a meeting of UNDGLAC in Guyana. There are five sub-programs, and I would like to just focus on, you know, this is a very flexible program. Let's say if you want to have a visual picture, it's like the tentacles, the operational tentacles, with our global network of expertise for the CARICOM crime and security strategy. Our key partners from the beginning are CARICOM, CARICOM Impacts, the Caribbean Aviation Safety and Security Oversight System, and RSS. Our program has actually started already through global programs that have been deployed in the region, and we'll go over that. But this is a first phase of a new interaction of UNODC in the region. So program one, it's on countering transnational organized crime and illicit trafficking, including drug trafficking and terrorism prevention. I would say it will take about 75% of resources in the implementation of the program. You have the strategic goals in front of you of the CARICOM crime and security strategy, especially increased transborder intelligence and information sharing, enhanced law enforcement and security capacities, enhanced maritime and airspace awareness, and strengthen mechanisms against human trafficking. And how are we actually doing that and will do that? Greater cooperation will be pursued in the next months with IMPACTS and its two sub-agencies, the JRCC, the Joint Regional Communications Center, and the Regional Intelligence Fusion Center, the RIFC. For UNODC and for the region, these two sub-agencies and IMPACTS are centers of excellence for information and intelligence sharing, which would be supported through the regional program. We will focus on intelligence sharing across the region, as well as with other regions. Let's not forget that one of the key areas in which we need to work is profiling. Profiling of trends of transnational organized crime and drug trafficking. We have been doing already that for the last 2.5 years in Central America with some success, South America with also some success stories. And our objective would be to link the Caribbean with other regions, not only in the continent, but also in Europe, and I'm referring to the Balkans, Western Europe, Southeast Asia, and South Asia, with similar intelligence platforms that we have been supporting in other regions. We'll also focus on establishing strategic analysis and serious organized crime threat assessments. SOCTAS have become a very interesting tool to foresee challenges that are coming to the region. Two star programs that for our will hopefully become flagships of the UNODC CARICOM Impacts Cooperation are the UNODC World Customs Organization Container Control Program. We have already established joint control units in Guyana. We are working now with Suriname, in the Dominican Republic, and in Jamaica. Through this regional program and global resources from Canada and the United States, we would like to establish more joint control units in strategic ports, which are fully operational. We would like to link them with each other and then link the region through CARICOM Impacts in generating analysis and working with other joint port control units in South America, Central America, and the Balkans. Let's not forget that, as you all know, the Panama Canal will be expanded. Expansion works are ongoing. But that will mean that 75% of the Pacific route in trade, in the international trade, will be shifted or reshifted through the Panama Canal. Super Panamax will be able to carry not 5,000 or 7,000 containers, but 13,000 containers per ship. Our threat analysis indicates that the Caribbean region will become a very important commercial partner of South America and Central America, but some new challenges will also be coming. The natural partner of this container control program, which has generated a key fact, for example, Panama being the third country in drug seizures in the world. If you take a look at the pictures and the figures 5 years ago, Panama was number 10. With the Container Control Program, Panama has become the third country in seizures of cocaine and drugs in general for the last 3 years, right after Colombia and the United States. We would like to take the expertise already existing in the region, in countries like Jamaica, Barbados, Trinidad and Tobago, Bahamas, to generate also a focus of expertise of the Global Container Control Program in the Caribbean. Some good results are already underway in Guyana. The Dominican Republic is also helping and becoming a platform of cooperation between Central America and the Caribbean. But the natural partner, as I was saying, will be the UNODC, WCO, Interpol Airport Communications Program. This is a program funded by the European Union. We are already starting in Jamaica in the month of June. The program is already linked and established in the Dominican Republic. We are working with Panama right now as we speak. And we will be focusing on new airports, also with hopefully funding from other partners. This telecommunications system will be linked with the joint control port units in key ports, and we'll be able to strengthen what is already being done by CARICOM impacts. Mutual legal assistance, extradition, and international cooperation in criminal matters, including the confiscation of assets, will be also part of the UNODC regional program in support of the CARICOM crime and security strategy. Mr. Forbes has referred to the network of organized crime prosecutors. The Attorney General of Barbados has already led efforts in this direction. More will and can be done through the regional program in the establishment of a specialized network of prosecutors specialized on transnational organized crime, human trafficking, smuggling of migrants, and trafficking in small weapons. We have done it already in South America. We have done it in Central America, and cooperation is certainly very promising in the Caribbean. Cybercrime, it's one of these emerging threats that has been identified in the CARICOM crime and security strategy, especially in strategic goal number 8, strengthening CARICOM's resilience to cybercrime, and it has been identified in the program. So the program will support Caribbean member states in educating and promoting awareness of internet use and in strengthening their capacities to implement measures against cybercrime. How? We are already doing it in El Salvador, and we have already started working with Trinidad and Tobago as pilot cases. We will focus on 4 activity areas: capacity building, prevention, framework support, meaning legal framework support, and cooperation. And we will also strengthen this cooperation through 2 normative areas: development of technical assistance tools and underlying standards. So program 2 focuses on countering corruption, and it corresponds with strategic goal number 1 of the CARICOM crime and security strategy. In view of the number of states in the region that have not yet acceded or ratified the United Nations Convention Against Corruption, immediate support has already been deployed in the area of anti-corruption in the Caribbean for the ratification of the United Nations Convention Against Corruption, which is the entry door to a cooperation. Technical assistance to Caribbean countries will be based and has been based for the last 7 months on the outcomes of the country reviews. As you know, country reviews are part of the review mechanism of the United Nations Convention Against Corruption. Drawing on the outcomes of the reviews, gap analysis, and specific requests from national governments like the one in Trinidad and Tobago, will make possible technical assistance through legislative assistance, policy advice, for the development of anti-corruption strategies and action plans, and the support to the establishment and strengthening of local institutional frameworks in line with the convention. This is one area in which we have worked a lot with UNDP in the region, and we are intending to do so in the future. Our regional anti-corruption academy, meaning the regional anti-corruption academy that has been established and supported by UNODC back in 2012, covers Central America and the Caribbean. It has already served as a platform for the delivery of immediate technical assistance to Caribbean states during the initial phase of the program, prior to this day, to the launch. And our objective is also to establish a unit of the academy in the region. Recognizing also the potentially devastating effects which financial crimes may have on the region, and in accordance to Article 14 of the United Nations Convention Against Corruption, the regional program will also focus on measures to prevent money laundering. We will focus on the assistance which will be provided to the establishment of robust national asset recovery offices. Activities for the development and strengthening of national intelligence units, national financial intelligence units, will include support for financial and private sector companies and the organization of workshops to bring computer software like GoML, which is a computer software developed by UNODC, a software solution for intelligence, financial intelligence units, GoCase, software solution for integrated intelligence, investigation and prosecution case management, and GoATR, a software solution for handling the legal process of asset forfeiture and recovery. And we will try to integrate these solutions, these computer software solutions, in the financial intelligence units. So program three, it's basically building on what has already been done between 2009 to 2012 with the CARICOM Secretariat. It's focusing on preventing crime and reforming justice. It's aligned with strategic goal number 2, 10, and 11 of the CARICOM Crime and Security Strategy. And just to highlight some aspects, legal aid will be part of the program. The regional program will assist member states in the region in applying the new United Nations principles and guidelines on access to legal aid in criminal justice systems, with particular focus on pretrial prisoners, children, women, and the poor. Juvenile justice will obviously be one of the key platforms of action of this sub-program. And UNODC, in discussions with CARICOM Impact and the region, thinks that more attention should be focusing on the Cinderella of rule of law in any region, prison reform. UNODC has been involved in assessing prison conditions and alternatives to imprisonment in the Caribbean, and has developed already a plan of action with St. Kitts and Nevis, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, St. Lucia, Barbados, and the Dominican Republic. But a comprehensive program for all CARICOM states will have to be developed through this regional program to assist the Caribbeans in the area of prison reform. This program, or these activities, will include the revision and harmonization of outdated legislation so as to bring them in line with the requirements of the UN standards and norms. Particular attention will be devoted to the implementation of the United Nations rules for the treatment of women prisoners and non-custodial measures for women offenders, the so-called Bangkok rules. Particular support through this sub-program will also be provided to empower victims of crime, in particular women victims of gender-based violence and children as well as youth victims. We go to sub-program four, health and livelihoods, drug use prevention and treatment, and HIV/AIDS, which is aligned with the strategic goal 2 of the CARICOM Crime and Security Strategy. As highlighted by in the very CARICOM Crime and Security Strategy, there is an imperative need for a focus on education, early intervention, treatment, harm reduction, rehabilitation, and social integration. The regional program will seek to cooperate with the CARICOM institutions to review, update, and strengthen the existing regional drug demand strategy with a special focus on reducing delinquency among young people in the Caribbean region. UNODC will also provide assistance to member states to enhance ongoing efforts to design and implement drug dependence treatment and care systems which are recovery-oriented and within a continuum of care approach. There is a need, certainly, and this need would hopefully be provided through the regional program for additional data collection and assessments, capacity building, specifically with regards to new psychoactive substances. The focus area of HIV/AIDS will also be included in this subcomponent. and will focus on increasing access to evidence-based HIV/AIDS prevention, treatment, and care services for men and women who use drugs and people in prison settings. The last component of the program is to Program 5, which focuses on research, trend analysis, and forensics. It's aligned with strategic goal 4 of the CARICOM Crime and Security Strategy. And just to highlight some of the activities that are included in the program and in which we have already cooperated with countries like Trinidad and Tobago or Guyana, UNODC will also support drug use data collection and reporting that are intended to provide better quality and consistency of data on the global drug situation. We will also try to focus on raising awareness and developing and implementing policies and programs that will encourage the provision of forensic services to regional member states. And there is a component of this program focusing on forensic document examination capacity, which is one of the key strategic priorities of the region. Now, some words on reporting, evaluation, and management, which it's also one of the joint strategic goals of CARICOM Impacts and UNODC. The overall implementation of a regional program will be coordinated and overseen by an oversight and monitoring officer. This officer is already in the Panama office. Each subprogram that we have already presented will be supported substantively by thematic experts who are already located in the region. Physical program implementation from the region, for the region, will be based on specific projects under each subprogram to be developed in close cooperation with CARICOM Impacts. Member states will also guide the implementation of the regional program through CARICOM and specifically through the CARICOM Council for Security and Law Enforcement, CONSLED. Some words on evaluation and monitoring. UNODC, in collaboration with CARICOM Impacts, will prepare and submit annual reports to CONSLE, which will then be approved and submitted to partners in the region. How will the implementation of the regional program be conducted? Well, we have a rolling budget, which is, in principle, goes from 2014 and 16 of about $11 million. We have been already implementing some resources, which near about $700,000, so which have been already been implemented in the region. More will need to be done in terms of joint fundraising. Regional partners in this joint fundraising and implementation will be CARICOM Impacts, the Caribbean Financial Action Task Force, and the GRCC. And international partners that are already present with us are the World Customs Organization and Interpol, because they are our key partners in the implementation of the Container Control Program and AIRCOP, the European Union, which is a main donor of AIRCOP right now, Canada, and the United States. New partners are already coming, like Qatar, India, who are interested in linking up with the Caribbean in this effort of implementing the and supporting the regional program. A few words on joint fundraising. Well, you know, in these moments of, even though Europe and North America and the rest of the world are living the financial crisis, it's very important not only to align efforts, but also to do joint strategic negotiations and discussions with current partners in the region and new partners. Joint fundraising is part of the memorandum of understanding that is going to be signed today, which will allow funds from different partners in the region and out of the region to be channeled to CARICOM Impacts and UNODC to implement this regional program. A few words on the reestablishment of a UNODC presence in the Caribbean. You know, we have taken really lots of efforts, and the government of Barbados and CARICOM Impacts have led these efforts. We have followed on analyzing where we need to be based and how we can really support the efforts that are already being undertaken by the Caribbean, mainly through the CARICOM Crime and Security Strategy. We will finally be able, hopefully, in the month of June or July, to reestablish a small UNODC regional program presence in Barbados for the Caribbean. How? 2 weeks ago, I was in Brussels discussing on the cocaine route and possibilities of abolishing an international post, which is to be based in Panama, and reintroducing two posts for AIRCOP, the cocaine route, in Barbados. So negotiations are undergoing. Hopefully, we'll have the support of the European Union and the European Commission in Brussels. But this could be a promising start to deploy already some expertise in the UNODC initial presence in Barbados. We don't need a lot of large expert of international experts. That has never worked. You know, according to my experience, I was based in West Africa for 5 years. I've been in the Balkans. International presence should only support the efforts of the region. We have already really good experts in the region. We don't need international experts. We have excellent experts in Barbados, in St. Lucia, in St. Kitts and Nevis, in Antigua and Barbuda, in Trinidad and Tobago. So our objective is to start focusing on sub-program number one, the Container Control Program and AIRCOP. These are major threats we have through the ports and airports. Going then to strengthen and establish a network of organized crime prosecutors, probably with funding from other partners. We are now discussing with Canada and the United States how we can make that possible. So that would continue the presence of UNODC in the Caribbean. In order to not to focus on, you know, fat salaries and a huge presence, which is not necessary, all the administrative and financial backup will be concentrated in Panama. All the UN agencies, starting with UNDP and going through UNODC, UNAIDS, all the UN agencies are focusing their administrative and financial resources, meaning the backup, the administrative backup in Panama for the continent. We'll do that, but we'll start deploying, you know, expertise on sub-program number one in June, July. We were even thinking with the Attorney General of Barbados, maybe we can even already launch the World Report for the region in Barbados on the 27th of June of this year to signal this occasion. It's fairly easy to have then an exchange of letters between UNODC and the UN system, which already has a host country agreement with the government of Barbados, so that we are, you know, deployed and we establish an initial presence in the UN house in Barbados. So that's a little bit the idea, to start as of June, July, and then increase the presence to 7 or 8 top regional experts, and I repeat, regional experts, who will then be connected to other regional experts in South America, Central America, the Balkans, South Asia, Southeast Asia, and even Central Asia, if possible. Thank you very much. After this presentation, we have the honor of having the Honorable Adriel Brathwaite, Attorney General and Minister of Home Affairs of Barbados. Sir, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam. Morning and to you, Excellencies. I have been Attorney General of Barbados for the last 4 years, and in that regard have intimate knowledge of the day-to-day struggles that we have as a region in terms of our crime and security agenda. Indeed, listening to Amado just now, I was reflecting on the various areas where we have challenges. We don't manufacture firearms. Yet, when you hear about the region, you hear about the large, in fact, that we are probably the largest users of firearms in crime-related activities. We do, in some parts of the Caribbean, we do grow marijuana. We use a transshipment point for cocaine. yet you hear about the challenges that we have in terms of drug addiction, in particular the harder drugs in the Caribbean. We have one of the higher rates of gender-related violence. It's a significant challenge that we have in the region. Indeed, outside of gang-related murders, one-on-one murders usually gender-related, usually partner-related. It's a significant challenge. You heard about the issue in terms of prison reform. Barbados has, by accident, I will say, because a couple of years ago our prison was burnt, and as a result of which we had to rebuild our institution at Dawes, so we have probably the most modern prison in the Caribbean. But it saddens me to go into the prison and see a 1,000-plus young people just sitting around doing not a lot. And it really saddens me to go into Her Majesty's prison at Dawes. And yet I am told that the physical environs that we have in Barbados is better than other parts of the region. The whole issue of prison reform is something that I am very passionate about. And I said to both Amado and Francis last night that I would like us to put it ahead or at the top of our agenda in terms of an area that I'm very passionate about, too. How can we reduce the rates of recidivism that we have in the region? In Barbados, I think ours is just above 60%, which is nothing to brag about, which is nothing to be proud about in terms of making a presentation to yourselves. So we really need to work hard. How do we ensure that the young men, and I would say young men because usually young men between the ages of 18 and 30, how when they come to prison, how do we ensure that, in fact, that they're better off as a result of having come into prison? And one of the issues that we are faced with is the fact that they come with very limited tools in terms of social skills, educational skills, and it is a significant challenge. So when I look at, and I'm sure that when you review the UNODC's regional program for 2014-2016, I see a program that reflects the significant challenges that we have as a region, and I see a program that automatically I have bought into, because there are many areas where, as Attorney General of Barbados, and certainly as a Caribbean individual, there are many areas where I am very aware that as a region there are significant weaknesses. So it's easy, therefore, and it's probably the reason why in 2009 that the heads of government said to UNODC or encouraged UNODC to consider reestablishing in the region, because we recognize, or they recognize, the challenges that we had in terms of resources, not only in terms of financial resources, but certainly in terms of human and intellectual capital, and reached out to the UNODC, as we probably have with other partners, so that we can see how best we can pool our resources to make a difference in our crime and security strategy. I'm aware that UNODC and CARICOM Impacts have been working over the last 2 years to ensure that the program that you have before you this morning is one that together they can move forward on a joint relationship to move our crime and security strategy forward over the next 2 years. You would have heard from both Mr. Forbes and for Amado that we are trying to eliminate duplication in our strategies, and we want to leverage the significant knowledge not only regionally but internationally that UNODC has. So we see this partnership as one that can only redound for the benefit of the region. And it's for that reason that the Governor of Barbados has signaled its intent and its pleasure having the UNODC reestablish its office in Barbados. And I'm heartened to hear that it could be as soon as June this year. It then would enable the region to have at its fingertips resources that it didn't have a couple of years ago. Amado and the, Mr. Fedotov may not agree with me, but we felt as a region that, in fact, that having the UNODC in Panama didn't allow them to focus as much as we would have liked to on the English-speaking Caribbean. And therefore, and we are partners still, and therefore, we do look forward to you reestablishing in Barbados soonest. We recognize, as the UNODC does recognize, the significant fiscal challenges that we are all having, the region is having, and many of our partners are having. Notwithstanding that, the program that we have for the next 3 years is probably about $12 million approximately. So let me add my voice to those before me to ask our partners to, where possible, to assist us in that regard, because crime in the region, I'm not sure if many of you realize this, but crime in the region is no longer regional. In other words, with transnational organized crime, we're seeing individuals out of the Middle East, we're seeing individuals out of the Eastern Bloc, trafficking individuals through the region, into Guyana, for example, and into Brazil. We're seeing the region, as you very well know, the success in Colombia and the success in Mexico has meant that there's been more focus in terms of the Caribbean as a transshipment point for drugs into the U.S. and into Canada and the United Kingdom, et cetera. So there's very good reason why our international partners should pay closer attention to what's happening in the Caribbean as a region. I could go on because I am very passionate about my job as Attorney General. I am very passionate about crime and security issues in the region. And I want to ensure that at the end of my stint as Attorney General, certainly as head of consulate, that in fact that we would have made a difference to assist the men and women who make the Caribbean their homes. You'd have note that the UNODC does plan to have some element of measurement, which I appreciate significantly, because at the end of the day, we want to be able to come back to you and show you the difference that your encouragement, the difference that your contributions have made to us, not only as an organization, but certainly to us as a region. So we want to implement programs that are measurable. We want to implement programs that will make a difference in the day-to-day lives of the men and women who reside in the Caribbean. So I want to end by thanking the UNODC for encouraging me to be here this morning, but certainly to signal to them publicly that as a country and as a region, that we recognize the work that they can do and the significant contribution that they can lend to the region and to lend to our crime and security agenda. And therefore, I look forward to working with you over the next couple of years to making a difference in the lives of the ordinary men and women of the Caribbean. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Attorney General. Now is the brief moment in which, just before questions and answers, in which I feel a little bit like a priest before a marriage. This is a moment that, even though some of you may not realize, but the ones who are in the region, we have been carving this MOU for 2 years, okay? We have built trust, and now is the time to proceed with the signing of the MOU, which hopefully will be a long-lasting marriage. Signatories will be Mr. Yuri Fedotov on behalf of UNODC, Mr. Francis Forbes, on behalf of the CARICOM Impact Secretariat. Now when it's a little bit after 11:30, we start with questions and answers. I have already Italy, Mark, and Nauru. Okay, and Cuba. So let's start with Italy, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Excellencies, colleagues, ladies and gentlemen. Italy is a staunch supporter of UNODC and commends the office and its executive director, Fedotov, for organizing today's event. The CARICOM crime and security strategy signifies an historic and defining moment for the community. It clearly articulates the Caribbean state security interests within the wider context of the threats of climate change, increasing market competitiveness, public debt financing, and profound economic uncertainties. Today's risk and security threats are multidimensional and interconnected, especially for regions like the Caribbean, naturally exposed to the imbalance of global demographic trends and massive flows of illicit trafficking. This is why the CARICOM crime and security strategy is so important, and the support the UNODC is providing to it is so crucial. As the Caribbean, my country, there is a geographic, demographic, and economic bridge between regions and peoples. Italy speaks from experience, for this is a reality we came to know from our own suffering, from our own success in fight against transnational organized crime, where Italy organization play a pivotal role. My country is deeply committed to this fight and will continue to play a leading role in raising awareness about the gravity of the threat, keeping the team high on the UN agenda, supporting the UNODC, and building the political consensus to second the actions of the international community, regional organization, and the individual states. It's not the case that every year Italy introduces the annual crime resolution in General Assembly, following an inclusive, non-divisive approach that was rewarded this year with 135 co-sponsorship and its adoption by consensus. In the same spirit, we support our Caribbean partners through the initiative in the form of bilateral agreements, memorandum of understanding, and now the CARICOM crime and security strategy. Allow me to reiterate our firm commitment to working with the CARICOM countries in implementing every action and form a collaboration needed to fight organized crime and foster development and economic growth. And we are particularly pleased to see in the CARICOM strategy a specific focus on law enforcement measures addressing the profits derived from illicit activities. Our experience has taught us how crucial it is to follow the money trail. Transnational organized crime operates as a global business that seeks to reap big profits, and curbing its financial power is thus a powerful way to hit it where it hurts. For that reason, Italy's Calabria region, that has been heavily affected by transnational crime, has recently provided $1.2 million funds for UNODC program STAR, Stolen Asset Recovery Initiatives. The initiative is meant to strengthen international cooperation in the area of management, use and disposal of seized confiscated assets, including through the elaboration of specific guidelines. And we hope that this project can also be beneficial to CARICOM country. It is in this spirit that my country will sponsor a training course for police officers from CARICOM countries, Cuba and the Dominican Republic. The course is organized by the Italian Minister of the Interior and seeks to address the need, repeated voices by both Italy and CARICOM, most recently during the opening of the last session of the UNGA. Getting down to particulars, the course is designated for 16 police officers and will take place by the end of 2014. The goal is to instruct the participant in the discipline and technique of countering drug trafficking, undercover work, infiltration, money laundering, and asset recovery. It will include site visits to the Leonardo da Vinci Airport in Rome, the Port of Civitavecchia, the Port Authority, the Canyon Training Center of the Guardia di Finanza, and the Scientific Investigation Unit in the Special Operational Unit of the Carabinieri Corps in Rome. As countries join together in the fight against organized crime and drug trafficking, I think we have a great deal to learn from each other. And this course will be an excellent opportunity for our law enforcement experts to do so. In closing, let me say how pleased I am that this project is coming to fruition in the broader framework of the CARICOM crime and suicide strategy, and that our law enforcement officers will be working together on issues of vital importance to us all. I thank you.
Thank you, Ambassador. Her Excellency Marlene Moses, Permanent Representative of Nauru. Nauru is gone, or? Okay. Then Cuba, please.
Thank you very much. First of all, I want to thank the Honorable Attorney General of and Minister of Foreign Affairs of Barbados for his remarks, and also the presence here of Executive Director of UNODC. And I just wish to highlight the importance of the issues of the war drug problem for the entire region, not only for the Caribbean region, which Cuba is part to. And this is an issue that is already part of the leaders of our regions. And I totally agree with the speakers that have stated before me that this international or transnational crime that no single country can face by its own. And therefore, in our region, this world drug problem is part of the agenda on the discussion on and how to strengthen the efforts, additional efforts, in order to combat illicit drug trafficking. Therefore, in Havana last January, when the heads of states and government held the second summit of the community of Latin American Caribbean, they adopted a special declaration on world drug problem, in which the international cooperation and also the regional cooperation was a key element of this declaration. And beside of that, they decided as part of the plan of action of the CELAC for 2014 to hold the first ministerial meeting of the CELAC in May. It will take place in 13 and 14 of May in La Antigua, Guatemala, for further discussion on this important issue. And therefore, for me, this UNODC program that just was launched today will be a significant contribution to the regional efforts in this regard. Thank you very much.
Much. And Cuba is an important stakeholder for us. Cuba is covered by the UNODC regional office in Panama, and more is becoming a bridge also with South America and with the Dominican Republic, which is a bridge also with the Caribbean. So you've been very proactive in anti-corruption efforts, for example. The representative from Spain?
Well, thank you very much, and congratulations to the newly married, and I wish them a long and happy live together. And congratulations, you know, on a more serious bit. And thanks for your remarks and presentations. And also want to congratulate UNODC for this excellent job about producing this regional program that we of course we support. I'd like to make any comments. Some comments I didn't write in a statement. So I just took my notes and I'd like to make any comments. And some maybe at the end a couple of questions. Well, I remember last year I introduced together with Helen Clark and Geraldo Muñoz the Human Development Regional Report of UNDP for Latin America entitled Citizen Security with a Human Face. And I remember that the whole subcontinent is facing six specific challenges. They were street crime, youth violence and crime, gender-based violence, corruption, state violence, and organized crime. Of course, this is this last one, organized transnational crime, is the priority and the main target of the UNODC regional program and about the Caribbean problem as well. But I'm glad and happy that the Attorney General and Minister of Home Affairs of Barbados just mentioned these other aspects of violence and crime, which are rooted in all our societies. The big question after the presentation is how we member states can support you. How can we support the regional strategy? States are in fighting the transnational organized crime. They need, first of all, international cooperation. This is not a thing that one country can fight on its own. And drugs are not only a health problem, but also is one of the main triggers of criminality and insecurity, together with illicit traffic of small weapons, together with alcohol. And I fully agree, as Ambassador MacDonald said, he mentioned that the fight against crime and violence is a fight for human development. I cannot agree more. Insecurity is a threat to development. Insecurity is a threat to development itself. So in this sense, international cooperation is absolutely essential to fight transnational organized crimes. But there are some other triggers. Weaker family, we just talk about enhancing and restructuring families. Weaker families, chaotic urbanization, a drastic changes in traditional way of life. All these triggers, they produce violence, and this violence causes more vulnerability to drug consumption and drug trafficking. Spain is, as you know, is a country very much involved in fighting against drugs and crime, and we believe in partnerships. We believe in partnerships, and the proof is that 15 years ago we have a big partnership with the Secretariat of CARICOM. There is a cooperation agreement, of course. 2 years ago, we established a joint fund and also a group of experts, a technical committee, joint technical committee to manage this fund, which is now about $1.3, $1.4 million. There are two decisions, two of the main projects that were decided together by this joint Spain and CARICOM technical committee. There are two projects concerning violence. The first of them is to address to prevent youth violence in the streets and at the schools. And it's funded. This project is funded with about $430,000, and it's going to be implemented in Antigua and Barbuda, Jamaica, St. Kitts and Nevis, Santa Lucia, and Trinidad and Tobago. The second project is addressed to promote employment and business opportunities among young people, and this is going to be implemented in Belize, Bahamas, Jamaica, and Kitts and Nevis. I would say that you have been talking about the traditional drugs, about cybercrime. You mentioned, Amado, reference to cybercrime. We cannot be more interested in cybercrime than ourselves. And this is a new form of criminality, a transnational criminality. But I just heard that in the region of the Caribbean, there are new drugs, the new kind of synthetic drugs coming from Asia, and I would like to know if there is how this kind of drugs have the if there is any assessment about its impact or future impact in not only in health but also in security in this area. And that's my remarks. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Any other intervention? Please.
Thank you very much, Excellencies. Bruno Rios from the Mission of Mexico. Mexico attaches great relevance to the prevention and combat against crime and to the cooperation with the Caribbean in regard to security. Therefore, our country welcomes the decision taken by CARICOM to develop, with the support of UNODC, a common strategy to fight crime and foster security in this region. Mexico considers that the alliance among governmental institutions, civil society, and international organizations is of key relevance to address the menace that crime imposes to our security. And in this regard, Mexico wishes to support the Caribbean voice and approaches to these topics within the main United Nations system. We support CARICOM's actions towards the setting of a crime and security strategy of the Caribbean community and invite its member states to share good practices and lessons learned with the countries of the hemisphere. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mexico. Please.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm from the Mission of Jamaica. And as a country and a member state of CARICOM that is highly impacted by high levels of crime and insecurity, Jamaica attaches high importance both at the domestic and at the international level to this issue and to working with our regional international partners. So we are quite heartened, and to borrow a word about this marriage, we're quite heartened about this alliance. We view the crime and security strategy that our heads adopted last year as very important, and now that being linked with the program with the UNODC, and we're very pleased that it was a deliberate effort to have this marriage that is that looks at the comparative advantages of the two agencies, and to ensure that there is no overlap, but to maximize to result in a very effective program. So we very much welcome that, and just want to say that it aligns very much with our domestic efforts and the priorities that we have outlined. And we note that there are some programs already started, the port container program and the other one, and we look very much to being a part of that and to support that effort both here in our missions in New York and as well as at home. And just to also make the appeal that we welcome, as been said, any financial, technical support that our traditional partners and our new partners will give to making this program very active and bring it to life. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. Please.
Thank you very much. I'm Kavanoos from PermRep of the Kingdom of the Netherlands. In our kingdom, we have three autonomous countries, Aruba, Curaçao, Sint Maarten, which currently are either having observer status or are aiming for associate membership of CARICOM. And the issues at hand, countering crime, fighting drugs trade, and promoting security and peace, are something we really try to promote in those countries. And we take this also as a wake-up call for looking for synergy, for exchanging best practices, and see how and where we can contribute from those countries in the Caribbean, because the issues at hand for our kingdom are extremely crucial. So thank you very much for all the information provided.
Thank you very much. Any other intervention? The Attorney General of Barbados wishes to make a statement.
If I may, there's a saying that there are no new problems, just new solutions and stuff. I'm not sure if that's accurate. But what I do want to highlight is the value of us being able to sit around and having meaningful discussions on issues such as this that we can learn from each other. For example, the ambassador from Spain spoke of at-risk youth. Now, we now speak of at-risk families because we recognize that usually there's an issue in the family that causes that individual, that young boy or young girl, to react how they do. And we also find that when we do the research that, in fact, that that from generations, there are poverty issues for generations that we need to address. So we've actually now have a pilot program at home where we're taking one family from each constituency. We have 30 constituencies, and working with that family to see how we can end that cycle of poverty that family has had for generations. So my point, and I don't believe that the genesis of that program was from Barbados, but my point is that the importance of having forums like these so that we can sit down and hear from each other in terms of what works, rather than having to go home and try to reinvent the wheel. I believe Amada said last night that within the not too distant future that in fact that you and the ODC may be convening a summit to discuss crime and security issues, and I look forward to that so that we can learn from each other. Ambassador, you did ask a question about new drugs in the region. I'm going to give way to my colleague from CARICOM Impact to see whether or not he does have any information in that regard, because it actually is not something that is within my knowledge. I did say to the ambassador from Italy, who's now no longer with us, that I welcome, on behalf of the region, welcome their intervention in terms of training. It's an area that we can always use additional assistance. We are focusing more on civil asset recovery to take the profit out of crime. That is new to many of us. It is new to the prosecutors, it's new to the judges, it's new to the policemen who are doing the investigations. So it's an area where I'm sure that additional resources will be welcome, because it is one thing to get the matter into court, it's another thing to ensure that it's successfully prosecuted. And we are doing some training in that regard, but there are some weaknesses across the region that we like to see addressed. So I thought I'd make that additional intervention.
Forbes, please.
Thank you. I'll just say we have been advised over the recent months that we should be aware of the possibility of new drugs, synthetic drugs, being trafficked into the region. We have been in discussions with the USDA mainly and other counter-drug trafficking agencies on this, and we have advised our border security officers to be on the lookout. We have not yet identified any major imports or usage, but it is something that we understand can have serious deleterious effects on our population and eventually on our economies, so we are taking it very serious. We are almost complete in developing a counter-illicit trafficking strategy in cooperation and coordination with the U.S., mainly U.S. Southcom, and that will give us an added advantage in terms of securing our several borders, in particular our maritime and airspace.
Thank you very much, Mr. Forbes. Any other intervention? It's almost 12 o'clock. No? Well, thank you very much, and a round of applause. Thanks very much.